you'll bless us today through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, well, thanks so much, everyone. It's so great to be here in a different way. Usually I'm here on a Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, and we're in a circle praying. That's a bit of a plug there for you if you want to get up that early. It's just a joy to get up and pray, intercede for all people here and in our community. And so I feel like I'm part of you, but on the periphery. So it's nice to be here in person today. And so, I chose Isaiah 55 because it's just amazing. It's just part of an amazing section, actually, of the book of Isaiah, and even the whole book of Isaiah is just incredible. It speaks powerfully to the situation there for Israel, but it speaks so powerfully to us now. And there's so many things in there that are relevant to us. Hope you picked up on some of those things as we were reading. And so the picture is of these things that I pointed out. So drink, eat, follow, and garden. And so we'll unpack that a little bit. So, yes, the next one is a picture there. Broadly, this picture, put your hand up if you know where that is. Yeah. On Wednesday, I was walking around Darlington and praying, and I've heard about this a bit. This is an Arbor project. And so if you walk just around the corner in Darlington central bit, you'll see this. And this jumped into mind a little bit because for this to happen, there needs to be, someone needs to be have a vision for this, have a picture of what it might look like if got some money together, had a plan and developed the area with a space for community, a place for plants to grow. So I notice I walk past there and there's veggies growing there. There's fruit trees planted all around there. So I can just see that the picture, the vision of that area was for a space where things can grow. There can be fruit and veggies for people to share. This is a little bit of an assumption, but I could imagine that people would have seen this, and it's starting to take shape. And so I just, when I was going through this, I could see that there's a vision in this passage for the world, for the earth. It's God's vision for his kingdom to come. So that's a big picture. So we'll keep that in mind. And I just wondered if you would be comfortable in talking to the person next to you and saying something that you're thankful for, and where, if you can think of a time in your life where you have done something similar to this, where you've had a bit of a vision for an area in your backyard or in a workplace. Doesn't have to be a natural place, could be just cleaning up an area where it might have been messy or dysfunctional, and you've brought something good out of that. Can you just, share something that you're thankful for with the person next to you? And if you can think of an example of that from your own life. Yeah, so go for it. Yeah. Anything come to mind for you, Alf? Oh, it's okay. They can just, share it amongst themselves. They can just share it amongst themselves, Yep. Can anything come to mind for you? Any transformation work that you've done? Sorry? Yeah. Oh, what about you? You've been involved in anything that, any gardening projects or anything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, at your house?
Sorry?
At your house?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. All right. Yeah, wow. Seen it come to life and, pull out lots of weeds and, lots of work. Yeah, great. Yeah.
What's come out of it?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. For me, I've done a lot of this. I'm working in natural areas, in the bush, and taking out a lot of weeds, big and small, and then you see the space that's opened up when the weeds are gone, and then when you can either plant natives or you see the natives thriving after that, it's pretty cool. yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. No, it's great to hear you. Obviously, think of something that you can. Anyone want to share that? Just one or two people willing to share their story of transformation or something that they're thankful for? Yeah. 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 Yeah, cool. Yeah, pruning is a good example. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I think not just the fact that he was alive, but the fact that I didn't have to stay there.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
You're not being flippant about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, wow, man. That could have been a lot worse. Yeah. No, that's good to just be mindful of those small things in life, hey, to be thankful for. And yeah, so thanks for sharing those things. That's great. Well, let's look at the passage a bit more. So, verse 1 and 2 talk about drinking and eating. And so, yeah, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend? Well, let's just talk about drinking for a minute. So it's a necessary part of life, having water. And when you think about water in the Bible in other parts, it's such a key theme. And one of my favorite accounts of the Gospels is John, and all through that there's a theme of water and drinking, and it just makes me think of in chapter 4 of John, where with the woman at the well. You probably know the story, and he's sitting at, comes to the well and asks for a drink of water, and then he has this interaction with the woman, and says in verse 13. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, talking about the water, physical water from that well. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. And that's a very similar thing to what Isaiah is saying here. If you're thirsty, come and drink. And it's a choice, choice drink. And it's free. And so it's coming and taking something that is going to satisfy, that has rich meaning. And so this water here, but also wine or milk in this part, it will really satisfy because it's coming from God. And that's a beautiful picture. So drinking has this beautiful picture of being satisfied. And I don't know if you know Lord of the Rings, but there's part of the story in there where there's two characters and they come to a forest and they drink water there. And they're not very tall, these characters, these hobbits. And they drink that water and then it's so full of life that they actually grow taller. And so that's not what happened to us, but it's a picture of something that will really nourish when it's something that is good. Something that is good, something that is from God. And that's what this is talking about. Come, drink. It's an invitation to partake from what God wants to give. And then it talks about food. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. And when you think about food and eating in the Bible, it from the beginning to the end, really, there's food, there's eating, and then there's good. There's always a choice. Good food from God or food from other sources that is potentially isn't good. So the food that God wants to give us, there's the manna that came from heaven that they had for 40 years. Manna from 40 years. And it was good. It tasted like honey. It was deeply satisfying for them. And they had it every day. And that was God's provision. The finest food. You know, they didn't have to go and find any other food. So this is an invitation again to eat what is good. Come and partake of what God is providing. And again, in John, talks about food and bread. And in chapter 6, Jesus again is applying these principles of eating and being satisfied by God to himself. So verse 26 says, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable food, things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. And then they replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one who sent, the one he has sent. And then verse 35 says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So whoever, in him, in Jesus, there's bread and drink for us that will satisfy eternally. And then a little bit later down there, it's worth reading this whole passage, but I'll highlight a couple of things in there. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. And that's just amazing. In God, through Jesus, we have the true food, the true bread. And when we eat of him and when we partake of him, when we read his word, when we live in him, when we allow his life to flow in us, then we will be satisfied. We will be satisfied and we won't need to seek other things, other food that does not give you strength. He'll give us the finest food. So I've divided this into a few parts. So the next section really builds on that, and it's an invitation to come and follow or be a disciple. And that's always the invitation that Jesus was giving. He was giving a symbol and an illustration, and then it was come and follow and do work with me and follow me and do the things that I'm doing. So what does it mean to follow him? Well, firstly, we need to come with our ears wide open and listen, and you'll find life. How often are we stopping to listen and looking and hearing those things that God wants to say to us? And then this, it's just so much in there. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. And who was David? David was someone that God used to display his power among the peoples. It says in verse 4, I made him a leader among the nations. He was a leader. He was a king. He was the greatest king. He united all the tribes. He brought the city of Jerusalem into God's people. He brought the ark into Jerusalem, and he brought great blessing for the people. He was kind of the ultimate fulfillment God provided in the promised land. The whole nation of Israel was established, and there was peace there, kind of for the only time. But did David search for God with his own heart? Did he only rely on him for the good food? Or did he go after food from other places too? So even David, he was this good example of someone who God used to display his power. But yet he was still, unfortunately, David sought food from places that didn't give him strength. Actually, it actually had terrible consequences. So this is not a picture of us being perfect, because only God is perfect, but he calls us to follow him and be used by him and be filled by him, so that he can use us to bring him great glory. And the next verse here, you will also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. And this is a corporate initial prophetic message to the nation of Israel, so that they might turn to him. They will seek him and find him, because they weren't doing very well before. And God wants his people to be used for his glorious power. The Holy One of Israel made you glorious. And again, in Jesus, he is the Holy One of Israel. And we see in Acts chapter 3, which is relevant to us. Acts chapter 3, verse 13, says, For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. And it's relating this fulfillment of all this prophetic messages culminating in the Messiah, Jesus, who died and rose again and was raised to glory. This Holy One of Israel who came to bring rescue, to bring salvation to God's people, those who would believe in him, those who would choose to follow him, those who would choose to give their life to seeking after him. And it's just amazing. So then verse 6, and there's so many verbs in here, so many things that are active things that we can do in order to follow him, to search after him. And God's always there. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. It's a beautiful picture. Verse 7. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. So in all those examples that I said before, the nation of Israel, they had turned against him. They were seeking after other gods. David did that too. There's always this promise, though, if we come back to him, if we repent, if we search for him, he will be there, he will be found, and he will welcome us with open arms. Because his love, his grace, is more than we can imagine. And that's the context of verse 8, I think, to a significant part, that his grace, when the wicked change their ways, and they banish the very thought of doing wrong, when people turn and repent and acknowledge that they were chasing after the wrong thing, there's this this open arms and this grace that appears to be something that we can't fully comprehend. How is that possible for people to do evil, to go chasing after the wrong things, things that aren't going to satisfy them, things that are destructive and bring wickedness to the earth? How is it possible that God can forgive them and do so generously, do so freely? And this is a key element of the gospel, isn't it? That the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He took upon him, Jesus took upon him the sin of the world. And there's so many illustrations of this, that the Father turned his face from him. There was darkness on the cross. Jesus said, "I thirst." And he thirsted because he was dry, he was parched, he was suffering for the world, for the sin of the world, so that when people turn, they will find forgiveness through his blood. And I'm using this passage in the light of the cross and gospel and salvation through God. To this people initially was a powerful thing, but some took it on board. Others didn't. So God's ways are so much above our ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He has a vision for the world, and he has a plan to bring redemption to the world. You might not see it. You might not see it because our eyes are weak and perhaps lacking faith, but there is a plan. There is a plan for redemption, and maybe it might not come through our life, but there is the hope of glory. There's the redemption of all things, bringing new heavens and the new earth, and that's such an amazing picture. So there's a picture here of what can happen now, but it's also a picture of what can happen in the life to come. Yeah, I hope you understand that. I relate to the picture of the gardens and things like that because it's what I've done as work. And yeah, got a heart for the lost and seeing people, broken people, being transformed and healed by God when they encounter him, because that's what happened. Everybody who was willing to receive and believe in Jesus had their lives transformed by him, by his love and his power being revealed. And just see that again and again and again in the Gospels, and it's amazing. And then all throughout history, even today. So verse 10, the rain and snow. And this is starting to move into a picture of a garden. Come garden, yeah. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Rain and the snow are slightly different things, but they're both, it's both water, and both when they come from heaven and land on the ground, they will soak in. Callan and I were talking about this during the week, and he pointed out that rain, water, will sink into the ground a bit quicker. But if it snows, it takes a little bit of time to... And yeah, even in that, it's amazing how God provides in different ways. Even the way we don't get very much snow here, but and I haven't seen snow, but I can picture that snow as it piles up in some places, it gets up to here. It takes a long time for it to melt and then sink into the earth. But it's a provision for the earth. The ground needs water. We need water. And so it is with God's word, when we are saturating ourselves with the living water, with the words of truth, it is that they will sink into our hearts. Sometimes it will soak in quickly like rain. Sometimes it might take a little bit of time to permeate. But when we are filled with him, God's word will accomplish what he wants it to in our life. And then through us, through it to other people. That's just this beautiful, beautiful picture of the rain coming down, causing the grain to grow. Are there any farmers here? Anyone with a farming background? Yeah, a couple. So you can understand this analogy. Grain sown onto ground is completely dependent on rain, isn't it? Without rain, you won't get enough moisture in the ground for the seeds to grow. That's the whole point of sowing seeds, isn't it? So that they will grow. If you just sow seeds and they just stay in the ground, then there's no point. But the seeds that God sows will always produce fruit. That's a promise here. Yeah, so we have to have faith and to believe it. We might not necessarily see it, but we have to have faith and believe that it will accomplish it. It is always worth reading the Bible, even if we don't feel like it. It's always worth praying, coming on our knees every morning, every part of that day, committing ourselves to him. That's being saturated with his seed, with his truth, with his word. And it will always produce fruit. And there's always something that God might do in those times that can produce fruit in others too. So that's a picture. And it will prosper everywhere he sends it. He sent it to us. He sent it here. And he sends it throughout the whole world. Looking for that fertile soil to be watered. And verse 12 is just this this amazing picture again. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and his hills will burst into song, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Have you ever seen mountains singing? Have you ever seen trees clapping their hands? In a way, yeah, I think we can know what he's saying here, because not the same as people, but mountains and hills doing what they are made to do, what they are made to do to bring glory to God, is a way that they are singing. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Like, you look around and just constantly, almost every day, I'm sure I'll see something, some glimpse of down into a valley or up in the hills. Yesterday I was at Optus Stadium, and you look out, look across over to the hills, and just, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful, and it's made in a way that brings glory to God. And same with the trees. Oh, trees. Who loves trees? Sometimes they can be a bit of a nuisance, maybe, but maybe because we build our houses too close to the trees, or anyway. Trees are just beautiful, and they just when they're doing what they're doing, when they grow in their strength, that they provide habitat and life and clean air to everything. They're doing what they're made to do, and they bring glory. It's like they're clapping their hands. And this picture, this beautiful picture, is what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be full of joy and peace, to be not absolutely no way am I saying that you always have to be happy even if you're going through difficult things, because that's where God can really do this work. He wants to sow seeds of life that can grow through that pain and those trials. They will never be wasted. Never want to diminish that or dismiss that. Life is always nice. But we can have joy and peace and live like those trees and those mountains. So, and then this picture that I certainly relate to about this transformation of where there are thorns, cypress trees will grow. Thorny bushes. Do anyone like really thorny, ugly-looking bushes? Compared to cypress, it's a bit of a comparison thing. There's still a place for thorny bushes, but in a garden, in a nice setting, you always want the nice trees. Alf was just saying about his new place, and yeah, just what they were able to plant there and cultivate produced a beautiful garden. And so it requires some tending. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. And so I got a bit of a picture there. So on the left there, just a picture of a scraggly-looking dead kind of tree. This was taken. The pink flower is a type of myrtle, Swan River myrtle. And so it's just planted just in Darlington as well. So that will grow, obviously, big. It's not in the same place, but it's just a comparison. Something that's dead and weedy, there's weeds on the bottom, to something that is lovely, green, with beautiful pink flowers. It's just that comparison there. That's something that God might want to do in our life. Think about perhaps what are some weeds, what are some ugly things that God is working in your life, trying to bring transformation at. There needs some tending and some cultivation, and God wants to do that, and there's some work that we have to play as well. So, this is all for the sake of God's glory and power. These events will bring great glory and honor to the Lord's name. There will be an everlasting sign of His power and love. This power and love, His power in our life, His power to produce this beautiful life is available. And His love is there available to us if we would come and drink and eat and follow Him and be involved in the gardening work that God wants to do in our lives and in the lives of people around us. Yeah, His power and love. Pour out Your power and love, God, as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy. It's a beautiful picture. And it's the gospel. It's the good news. So, do you know anyone who might be hungry or thirsty? Are you hungry and thirsty? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled. God wants to fill you, and He wants to use you to fill people around you. And His Spirit is at work in you, and there's that good news to share with people. As you sit with people, as you pray with people, as you laugh, you cry, mourn, when come and pray at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm often weeping, weeping because I can feel God's heart for the people that we're praying for. That's that He wants to come into their lives and meet them at that point of need and fill them and bring healing to them. So, can you see that picture? Can you see that beautiful vision? So back to the never mind. That vision, what vision is God giving you for something beautiful that He wants to bring in your life? Okay, let's let's commit that to God, hey? Let's pray for these things. I love that there's so much prayer happening in this church. It's so good. And yeah, we want to close in prayer. God, our Father in heaven, yeah, we love you and worship you. You are here amongst us, and you are the ultimate gardener. That this picture of gardening is close to your heart. When we're at work with people, whether it's a beautiful garden, nice and neat, or whether it's a garden that's full of weeds, we know that you're at work. You want to bring transformation and healing. You want to bring your kingdom to this world, on earth as it is in heaven. As we seek your kingdom first, I pray that you will please give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear what you are saying to us, that those the weeds that you might want to remove, those thistles that you might want to prune in our life, and help us to know your joy and your peace. Help us to be transformed by your word, to come to you and drink and eat regularly, and not running dry. I thank you so much for this time and this amazing passage, and I pray that you'll bless us as we go to this week and remember what it is saying to us. So, yeah, we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.